The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, welcome and thanks for joining us once again. This is Paul Orlowski and Sister Mary Carmel is joining us. She is with the Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration, and she serves Jesus and all of us at the Shrine of the Conversion of St. Paul down on 40th and Euclid in Cleveland. Sister, welcome to God Calling.
Welcome. Thank you so much, sir.
Sister, let's start with your vocation. Well, first of all, where did you grow up and where did you go to church?
Okay, well, I come from the state of New Jersey, the Garden State, with the beautiful beaches right at this time of the year.
Yep.
And I lived in Bayonne, New Jersey, which is not too far from New York City. And actually, when I made my first Holy Communion, my mother had said to me, make three wishes. And one wish was to become a nun.
Wow.
And it was something that was always in the back of my mind, but I was an only child, and so I became a teacher. I was a public school teacher in Bayonne for quite a number of years, and I also worked part-time for McCabe Ambulance Service, so I was an EMT for the city. And then, because I was an only child, I felt a responsibility for my parents because
sure.
I was a change of life baby for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remained with them until the Lord called them home. And then I wound up in Cleveland.
You said that it was always in the back of your mind as you were teaching, as you were helping save
yeah.
people's lives. Some people have referred to it, not in a bad way, but as just a nagging, like there's something more I need to do. Does that describe it pretty well?
No. See, it wasn't something that was, you have to do this or else, but it was just a beautiful little calling.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to church. I used to help out with the church, but I always felt like I wanted to do more, and I wanted to give myself more to the Lord than what I was doing there with the church. And I was on parish council, and I was in Rosary Society, and I was in their choir. So I was doing a multitasking, if you will.
Sure.
But I still felt I wanted to give 100%.
You went to Catholic school, I take it, in Bayonne.
Yes, I did.
How about high school and college?
Both. I went to Our Lady of Mount Carmel Elementary School at the time in Bayonne, which was our parish school. I went to St. Dominic Academy, which is in Jersey City, New Jersey, the next city over. And I graduated with my bachelor's from St. Peter's College. It wasn't until I got my master's from Jersey City. At that time, it was Jersey City State College, and now they're a university.
Okay.
That was the first time I went to a public school, so to speak.
You entered the religious life later. How old were you when you decided that you were going to begin to take vows?
When my parents passed away, I was close to 50.
Okay. When you entered, is there a hesitancy at all to allow someone in or to begin formation at an older age?
Ordinarily, they didn't, but I explained to them the situation and the letter that we had to, whoever enters gets from the parish, you know, also said that this was something that was not all of a sudden I was trying to get out of some kind of situation or didn't know where to go or didn't have a job or something of that nature. Nothing like that applied.
Mm-hmm.
They take each individual separately.
I see. Case-by-case basis, it sounds like.
Absolutely, yes. They prefer younger, obviously. And had I entered immediately after high school, then, you know, that would have been preferential. But as I said, with my parents, I just felt a responsibility in my heart to make sure that they were taken care of.
Well, what were the years of formation like?
Well, initially, you have postulancy, which was 1 year at that time. Things have gotten a little bit different now. The Vatican has instituted a longer period of time. But when I entered, postulancy was 1 year. And that's more or less getting your feet wet into the order. You can actually remain, learn the different charges. I came here prior to that for a short visit, a come-and-see visit, and I remember when I came here just to see what the monastery was like and to get a feel for what my life would be like when I entered. The first night I went to sleep that first night, I woke up saying, I can't believe I slept under the same roof as the Blessed Sacrament. That was the first thing that clicked in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so starting from postulancy that first year, we have as our charism a thanksgiving and perpetual adoration. So here there is one nun, sometimes two, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and that's 24/7, all day, all night. And so starting from your postulancy, you get an hour every day during the daytime, and then after you've been here a little while, and that might, little while might be a week or two, then you can start taking the nighttime adoration too. Ordinarily, it could be sometimes two or three times a week. Now I take it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that first year, there were 2 years of novitiate.
Right.
So at that time, you receive the habit, and instead of a black veil, you have a white veil. And now you're learning the rules of the order, the constitutions of the order. It becomes a little bit more technical to prepare you for the vows that you will take.
Okay.
And that, after the 2 years, I took my first vows, my temporary vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Being a cloistered nun, I knew that these vows entailed remaining within the enclosure, with the exception of course, going to doctors or dentists, things of that nature, where you absolutely must leave the building. And then after 3 years of temporary vows, I took my solemn vows, my final vows.
Sister, stay right there. We're going to be back on God Calling right after this message. Welcome back. Sister Mary Carmel is joining us. The Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration is where she serves, the order she serves, the Shrine of the Conversion of St. Paul here in Cleveland, is where she serves. And sister, now, was all of your postulancy and then the novitiate and everything done right here in Cleveland at the shrine?
Yes, that is correct. All was done within Adoration Monastery, which is what we call our monastery here at 40th and Euclid.
I kind of just smiled because you were talking about how the overnight hours, you now do them every day. In the outside world, maybe they'd give that to the new kid, but you enjoy that.
Yes, I do. Mine, I have adoration, nocturnal adoration between midnight and 2 a.m., so I have like a little bit of sleep before and some sleep after, but I always feel like I'm starting the day with the Lord, so at least I get to pray for the city and pray for the world at the start of a new day.
You talked about Thanksgiving and some of the other things that you pray for, that they're charisms of the order. Mm-hmm. But another one was reparation on behalf of the world. Explain that, can you, sister?
Certainly. Okay. Jesus Garden of Gethsemane, when he went through his agony, he saw everything that was going to happen from Adam all the way until the end of the world and accepted it. But we desire to just give thanks to him and in our own little way make reparation for all the sins that are committed by us and by everyone else. No one in the world is perfect. So we all have our imperfections. And that's our way of saying to him, thank you for all he did for us and for all the suffering he went through. And the reparation doesn't have to be something very traumatic, a la the Middle Ages. Just getting up to get to midnight adoration sometimes is just telling, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I really could use some more shut-eye, but I know you want to see me in the choir saying hello to you. And just everything we do, whether you're washing the dishes, whether you're fixing the refectory, which is what we call our dining room, just doing it out of a spirit of love and doing it to say, Lord, accept this for all the sins that are being committed, all the sins of violence that are being committed in every way, shape, or form in our country and in all the countries throughout the world. But especially, we concentrate on our city and our country, and then the country, and then the other countries of the world.
Is there restoration through the reparation? Do you feel it?
It's not just a feeling that comes to you all of a sudden, but it's just sometimes when I sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just looking at Jesus, or I might read a few lines in a book and just look at, and you just feel a sense of peace. It's not something that you can ordinarily explain, but it's a beautiful, calm feeling. It's like, Lord, I know I'm not doing much. I might be saying office, and I'm trying to say it as perfectly as possible when we say our prayers, and inevitably sometimes you skip a word, or so, and say, Lord, I wanted to do it perfect today just for you so that you could use it for all us sinners in the world, and sometimes but you do feel that sense that you're doing the best you can.
Do you think orders like the Poor Clares are underappreciated because people don't see you very often, if at all, other than an emergency or something? People should probably take comfort in knowing that someone's praying for them 24/7.
Well, we do have a prayer line, and at the present time, we have a phone outage. Companies working on it. But we do have a prayer line, and that's people leave their prayer requests there 24/7. And it's interesting that you mention that, because I have gone to doctor's offices or if I had to go to the hospital for a test or something, and inevitably you'll meet somebody who'll come over and say, please, pray for this cause or pray for that cause, especially because we do wear a full habit.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do know that we're religious. Because if you wear a cross, sometimes so many people wear a cross that you can't tell if that's religious or someone's just wearing a cross for their faith. And we do get people that come, but you're right in that sense that people don't know. I know Sister is making or redoing the website that we have, but at the present time, she just began, so it's just the homepage, basically. But that also will be able to give information. Some people come here for tours, and I had the privilege of being able to give them some information when they came for a tour within the past week and a half or so. So that, too, can be arranged, and we can give some information on both the shrine and on our life.
Do you think that when people come over to you, does that reassure you that people still have a belief? Maybe they're not practicing, and maybe they're not adoration.
I do. Sometimes when things go well, we sort of say, okay, Lord, everything's okay, so I'm going to do everything else I want to do. And then sometimes when sickness hits the family, or if they're, especially now with inflation, if there's a financial difficulty in a family, or someone's looking for a job, or health issues where they either want to be healed or want a loved one healed, or if the Lord doesn't want that, that they at least want them to have a peaceful and happy death. It's true. I keep on thinking of what people I said, you know, when September 11th hit, the churches were packed immediately afterwards.
Sure.
And then as the years went by, changes occurred, you know, and the churches got emptier. But sometimes the trouble, they come and you try to help them as best you can. You try to, when I speak to them, I try to, you know, talk to them as best I can. And sometimes I'll tell them if they want to pray for something. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, especially if it's an individual that is sick or someone that is dying, is so, so powerful.
Yeah. Sister, stay right there. We're going to be back with our final segment on God Calling. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Sister Mary Carmel is joining us. She serves at the Shrine of the Conversion of St. Paul. Sister, there were recently, a couple of years ago, some renovations there. It's a beautiful place for people to experience. And I do believe that there are tours.
Yes, absolutely. We have had the interior of the church had to be repainted after a number of years from the candles. The smoke just leaves its smudges.
And oh, it
some
does.
Of that hadn't been painted for quite a while. So Mother had asked me if I would more or less take charge of aspects of that. So, of course, not being outside, I had as my assistant, if you will, Father Robert Marva, mm-hmm. who has just last week, or the week before, he became the provincial for the Capuchin Order of the province of St. Augustine. So he's leaving Cleveland, and he'll be in Pittsburgh in charge of the entire this province of the Capuchin
oh.
Order. But he helped with the colors and speaking to the, I said, you have to help me with speaking to the companies because you're outside in the church and you could actually see what has to be done. And he's been pastor, I believe, the past 18 years at St. Agnes Our Lady of Fatima. So I said, you know much more about that than I do. So he assisted with that and we worked together. And yes, so we repainted the shrine. And while they were painting, the stained glass window, the large window above the choir loft, they looked and they said, you know, this has to be repaired because we can paint the wall around it. But they said it had to be secured better.
I see.
So talk about the providence of God. So Father knew a company that was very, very good with stained glass. So that entire stained glass window in the back has been totally removed. And they fixed everything. They cleaned everything. So now it is so bright when the sun shines through it. It is absolutely unbelievable. But that was thanks to Father Marva, too. I must give credit where credit is due.
Well, I could hear the smile in your voice when you talked about that stained glass, sister. You know, but I think something that my pastor stresses quite a bit, is, and I think maybe at times is lost on people, is that God wants our friendship. He longs for our friendship and to be with us. And we just have to be open to that love.
Oh, absolutely. And that, I think, is part of it, sir. The idea that sometimes we tend to think of God as in the clouds and mm-hmm. sitting on a throne. And that's true. He's the God of heaven and earth, and he has to be just. He can't say everything is okay. They're the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. So, you know, it's necessary to follow that. But he became one of us. He became a human being. And I'm sure he laughed, and I'm sure he certainly cried. And when he was at the wedding of Cana, yes, he probably did dance with them. That's why we have the DVDs from the program, the TV program, The Chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows Jesus in a more natural sense. He is God. He can perform miracles, but he was also a man. He was fully human. So sometimes just sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just having a conversation like you would with a friend. One of our sisters, her young niece, just made her first Holy Communion the first Saturday of May. And just hearing her parents tell about the joy she had, she couldn't wait. She went to Mass the Sunday before and said, and this is, they had a Mass for them the day before for First Friday, and the parents were allowed to come to that Mass if they so desired to stay there. And she said to her mother and father, and this is the last time I'm coming to Mass, and I won't be able to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist.
That's cute.
So, I mean, that just went through me, too. I said, you know, sometimes being with the Lord, it becomes second nature, and you don't realize the wonder of it all, the awesomeness of it all, to a little child to bring that out.
I'd heard it said this way, that sometimes we get into the routine of saying prayers versus praying, and there's a difference.
That's true, and that's why when we say divine office, so we're saying morning prayer, and you're saying daytime prayers, and you're saying evening prayers, and it could become routine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I try to now really think about, they're the Psalms, King David, reading it, and as we chant it, say, you know, he went through the same things we went through. Sometimes it was just sheer frustration. Things probably weren't going well. Or sheer joy when he was mm-hmm. able to bring the Ark of the Covenant home. And I don't know if you could hear, but there was a handbell every hour during the day, 5 minutes to the hour, that handbell rings. And that's just a token little reminder for the next adorer.
All right.
To come down,
yeah.
Fire. Sort of like the changing of the guard at Arlington National
there you go.
Cemetery. Say the Magnificat when we change.
Well, I would suggest I would suggest a visit to anyone because it is gorgeous. I haven't seen it since it's been repainted and repaired, but I plan on it. Sister Mary Carmel, thank you so much for joining us.
I'd love to meet you in person, and when we have visitors, we have a parlor, we call our parlor, where we can meet visitors.
Oh, wonderful. Sister, thank you. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, your host, and we hope to have you tune in again next week at this very same time.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.